Maybe this week the Lord's going to take me home. And I try every day to live in that kind of a mindset. Because you don't know. And that's the way David was living his life, because he knew that Jonathan was his friend and that his dad wanted to kill him and get rid of him. And he could actually die that very day because Saul was after him.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has walked with the Lord for 50 years. He's learned to surrender his will and obey without fear or compromise, trusting that God's plan for his life is purposeful and good. For a free DVD with Raul's testimony of God's faithfulness, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Today's message from Raul continues our focus on helping you grow in your trust of the Lord, and we're glad you've joined us. Exploring David's faith journey as he spent months on the run in fear for his life, you'll see that even in seasons of uncertainty, you can have full confidence in God's plans. We'll see that not only did the Lord protect and provide for David, he blessed David with a strong friend to support him in his trials. Let's listen as Raul begins the message, David Trusting in the Lord. Join us in 1 Samuel chapter 20.
It's pretty amazing here that David not only has been struggling because Saul hates him tremendously and Saul has been trying to kill David. And yet at the same time, David now is going to be on the run for about 10 years, hiding. And then at the same time as David puts his trust in the Lord, we see that David somehow has built this relationship with Jonathan as a friend. It's really of importance, too, that we understand that this was not a homosexual relationship, which the liberals, again, try to say that. That Jonathan and David were homosexuals. That's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches here. And I say that because it's really important that when we look at the life of Jonathan and David, they were godly men, young men that God used. They had their problems like any one of us here. But at the same time, they stood for righteousness. They stood for integrity. Look now at chapter 20, verse 1. He says, "And then David fled from Naoth in Ramah and went and said to Jonathan, 'What have I done, and what is my iniquity, and what is my sin before your father that he continues to seek my life?'" There are people like Saul that literally hate you and hate me. And many times what I have learned in my own personal life is that people that really come against you and they hate you is because they see Christ in you. And it's really a blessing. If people don't really want to be around you, you really don't need those kind of friends around you. And Saul was a man that really David didn't need in his life. And yet David was continually pursued by Saul because Saul had this whole thing in his heart where he wanted to kill David and get him out of the way, especially when he saw the anointing of God in his life. And he knew that God had chosen him to be the next king. Saul wanted him completely out of the way. And Jonathan could not see it. David could see it. David is fleeing. And here he's going to actually tell Jonathan that. Notice in verse 2. "And so Jonathan said to him, 'By no means you shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing, either great or small, without first telling me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so.'" Notice, he now comes to a place where he's saying, "No, my dad's not really against you, David. I mean, this can sever the relationship right now." Imagine, David is coming against your parents, against your father. Sometimes there's other people can see what we cannot see, and they warn us. Look what he says in verse 3. "And then David took an oath again, and he said, 'Your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes. And he has said, do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, Jonathan, there is but a step between me and death. Interesting. That Jonathan could not see it. And what is David doing here? David is sharing his heart with Jonathan. But then also, this is true wisdom. In the life of David here, he lives in the consciousness of eternity. And so we need to live in the conscious, we need to have a conscious of eternity that, look, maybe tonight is my last Sunday night in the house of the Lord. Maybe this week the Lord's going to take me home. And I try every day to live in that kind of a mindset. Because you don't know. And that's the way David was living his life, because he knew that Jonathan was his friend and that his dad wanted to kill him and get rid of him, and he could actually die that very day because Saul was after him. Look at verse 4. And so Jonathan said to David, whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you. Notice beautiful, true friendship here. Jonathan listens to David. David, whatever it is, I will do for you. Just let me know. In verse 5, David said to Jonathan, indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, that I should not fail to sit with the king to eat your father. And let me go that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening. He's saying, okay, Jonathan, let's test the waters and see if your dad really loves me. Okay? The feast is coming up. How about if I don't show up and I go hide for 3 days? Let's see what your dad says and what your dad does. And you, Jonathan, be my spy and my witness to your father. Notice what he's saying here. This is so cool. Verse 6. If your father misses me at all, then say to him, David earnestly asked permission of me that he might run over Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. He says, I'm going to go to my family, and I'm going to meet with them, and you tell your dad that. See what he says. To the house of bread, Bethlehem. If he says thus, it is okay, then your servant will be safe. But if he is very angry, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Jonathan, open your eyes. You'll know that he wants to kill me. You're going to be able to tell whether he loves me or he hates me. Verse 8. Therefore, you shall deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. You see, they made a covenant together. Nevertheless, if there is iniquity in me, kill me yourself. Wow. Jonathan, if I'm really evil and I have sin in my life, then you kill me. I'd rather be killed by you than by your dad. If there is iniquity in me, then you kill me yourself. For why should you bring me to your father? Don't betray me, Jonathan. You kill me better. I would be more at peace if you would kill me, if you would do the job. But Jonathan said, far be it from you, David. For if I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father to come upon you, then I would not tell you. Jonathan says, David, you know that I love you. You are my friend. If I knew anything, I would tell you. I would not keep anything from you, David. Man, that's a true friend. A one that is really looking out for his friend. He really trusts him. He really loves him. Verse 10. And then David said to Jonathan, who will tell me? And what if your father answers you roughly? What about if he turns against you? Then who's going to tell me? And Jonathan said to David, come and let us go out into the field. So both of them went out into the field. So here again, notice how beautiful friendship. Jonathan already is thinking of a plan just in case his dad turns against him so David can be safe, even if Jonathan is killed by his own father. Verse 12. Then Jonathan said to David, the Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded out my father sometimes tomorrow, or in the third day, and indeed there is good toward David, and I do not send to you, I will tell you. May the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan, but if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you, and I will send you away that you may go in safety, and the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. Notice that Jonathan says, David, I want you to know that I am guaranteeing you that you're going to be safe because of the Lord. I'm not going to betray you, but I will warn you. Here in verse 13, we see what a good friend Jonathan is to David. Notice that. Again, he says, may the Lord do so much more to Jonathan, but if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I, Jonathan, will report it to you and send you away that you may go in safely and the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And then verse 14, and you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die. Notice that. Jonathan knows David will be the next king. And yet, here is an enduring friendship all the way through the situation. Jonathan says, David, I know that you're going to be the next king. David, I'm behind you completely, 100%. Verse 14. And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. Notice what he says. Look, at even though my father is evil, and let's say that my father should die and I should die, then what about my sons, my daughters, my nephews, my nieces, all the way in the distant time? Will you please save my family? Don't touch them, he says. But you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies. Notice that. They're renewing their covenant of love. Verse 17. And now Jonathan again caused David to bow. Notice, because he loved him. For he loved them as he loved his own soul. Notice that. Not like a man loves a woman, but he says what? They love each other as friends. They had a deep love for one another here. They make a pact of love as friends here. Verse 18. And then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seed will be empty. 2-day feasts each month. So David's not going to show up. David's going to be hiding in the field to see what reaction Saul has when he's missing. Notice he's giving counsel here. And when you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed and remain by the stone of Israel, or in Hebrew, the departure stone in Hebrew there. Then, if my father wants to kill you and I'm at the feast and he turns against me, and against you, I will have my archer go out to the field, and I'll tell him, hey, shoot an arrow out to the field. And if I shoot the arrow before you, then it's safe. But if I shoot the arrow behind you, then it's time to run for your life, because my dad wants to kill you. So you see, they're setting up a plan so that he's safe. Again, verse 20. Then I will shoot 3 arrows to the side as though I shoot at the target. And there I will send a lad saying, go find the arrows. If I expressly say to him, look, the arrows are on this side of you. Get them and come. And then as the Lord lives, there is safety for you and no harm. So if I shoot the arrows in front of you, you're cool. But if I shoot them behind you, watch this. But if I say thus to the young man, look, the arrows are beyond you. Go your way, for the Lord has sent you away. You see, it's the Lord. God is sparing your life. Don't stick around. Run as fast as you can, because my dad wants to kill you. And he will kill you. But David, I want you to know one thing. I am your friend. I'm not going to turn against you. Verse 23. And as for the matter which you and I have spoken of, indeed, the Lord be between you and me forever. Wow, that's incredible. That is true, true friendship. How sad it is when friendships are broken up for stupid things. People that have been friends since childhood. And then something stupid comes along. You know what I've seen? I've seen guys that get married and they have this wife that is jealous of their friendship and she breaks up the friendship. Sad. But it happens. And it's really important because here David and Jonathan had that type of relationship where they kept themselves accountable in the Lord. Look what it says again. This is so cool. So he goes on, verse 23, and as for the matter which you and I have spoken of, indeed the Lord is between you and me forever. And then David hid in the field, and when the new moon had come, the king sat down to eat at the feast. So they come to the feast, everything's cool. Here comes Jonathan, but David's not there. Watch this. And now the king sat on his seat, and at other times on a seat by the wall, and Jonathan got up. And then Abner is Saul's cousin, and he's also the commander of the army. He says he sat by Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, the first day, no problem. For he thought something had happened to him. He's unclean. Surely he's unclean, he says. So he thought ceremonially he couldn't come to the feast because maybe he sinned or something. He didn't come. Second day, verse 27. And then it happened the next day, the second day of the month, that David's place was empty, and Saul said to Jonathan, his son, hey, why has the son of Jesse not come to eat either yesterday or today? He's questioning now. Hey, what's up with David? And so Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked permission to go to Bethlehem. He went to see his family. And then he said, please let me go. For our family has sacrificed in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in your eyes, please let me get away and see my brothers. Therefore, he has not come to the king's table. He had a real excuse to be missed. And then Saul's anger, notice this. Saul's anger, the real anger shows up, was aroused against Jonathan, not against David. Now, what does God do? God allows Saul to become angry and to show his real colors to his son. And Saul's anger was roused against Jonathan, and he said to Jonathan, you son of perverse, rebellious woman. He curses him. Notice that. Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? What is the matter with you, Jonathan? Notice that he's speaking bad of his wife, blaming his wife. And yet here we see that Jonathan's eyes are open through the circumstance here. Verse 31, for as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Now therefore send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. You see, Jonathan understood God's will and God's purpose, so that what? Saul, but Saul did not want to accept it. He wanted to change it. He wanted to do his own thing. And yet Jonathan respected the will of God, that God had chosen David, not Jonathan and not Saul. And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said to him, notice, why should David be killed? What has he done, Dad? And then Saul got so mad, he cast a spear to pin him to the wall. Notice the same thing he did to David. And Jonathan said, uh-oh, I know my dad's flipped out. Notice that. And then Saul cast a spear at him to kill him. By which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill David. And so Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month. For he was grieved for David because his father had treated him shamefully. He embarrassed him in front of everybody. And Jonathan had had it with his dad. Notice verse 36. And then he said to his lad, hey, come here. Run over here and find the arrows which I shoot. And the lad ran and he shot an arrow beyond him. Notice that. He doesn't waste any time. Here Jonathan's plan put to work now. He's convinced about his father's illness and his anger. And that he's pursuing David. And when the lad had come to the place where the arrow was, which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried out after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond you? Why was he doing that? To give David a hint. David, run. Don't come. My dad wants to kill you. And Jonathan cried out after the lad, "Make haste and hurry, do not delay." So Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came back to his master. But the lad did not know anything. Only Jonathan and David knew the matter. You see, they already had made a plan. Close friends knew in confidence what they should do. And then Jonathan gave his weapons to his lad. And he said to him, "Go and carry them back to the city." And as soon as the lad had gone, David got up from a place toward the south. And check this out. This is so incredible. He fell on his face to the ground and he bowed himself 3 times and he kissed one another and they wept together. But David was more so, because he knew that he would not see him again. A bond of friendship here that keeps them together, not separated. And here we see David's humility as he bows down to his friend. Even though he's going to be the next king, in respect and reverence, he does that to Jonathan to show respect and kindness and love. And then Jonathan said to David, "David, go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between you and me, and between,'" notice, "'your descendants and my descendants forever.'" Forever. Jonathan said, "Don't forget the covenant we've made between you and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, as my children and your children and my great-grandchildren. Don't forget, we can't touch them." And so then he got up and he departed, and Jonathan went into the city. It's so amazing to me here that the departure that comes now, a departure comes with unity and love. Is God now sets them apart, because God now is going to begin to work in the life of David. And many times there are friendships that have to be broken up like that, as friends go to another ministry or to another state or whatever it may be, or to another nation. But at the same time, our hearts are so knitted together in that friendship, in letter writing, keeping in touch with one another, praying for one another, because David will continue to pray. Jonathan will continue to pray. But at the same time, just in another 7 chapters, Jonathan is going to be killed. Jonathan is going to die with Saul in the battle with the Philistines. And then David will be on his own, and his best friend will be taken to heaven. Jonathan will die, but David will never, ever forget his friendship with Jonathan, that they made together as friends together in the Lord. And may God help us in this life to really, really work out our relationships and friendships, that we never expect anything from anybody, but the relationship is in the Lord. Between the Lord is in the relationship.
Well, it is good to be reminded that when God allows us to experience trials or seasons of uncertainty, He also provides the grace, strength, and support we need to see us through. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. To review today's lesson, just call us at 800-634-9165, and we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of $5 or more. When you get in touch with us, simply ask for Roel's teaching titled, "David Trusting in the Lord." Now, to further encourage you in walking with the Lord by faith, we'd like to offer you an uplifting new resource from Roel. Simply titled Trust, this 4-message audio series is available on both CD and an MP3 flash drive. As you meditate on God's merciful gift of salvation through the provision of His Son, the Lord Jesus, you'll find assurance that you can fully trust Him with your heart and life. Contact us today for this faith-building resource. Just visit us at somebodylovesyou.com or call us at 800-634-9165 to order Rawls' new Trust series on either 4 CDs or an MP3 USB drive. We'll send your format preference for a gift of $18.95 or more. Our phone number once again is 800-634-9165. Or you can simply write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Be sure to download our app to your iPhone or Android. In addition to Rawls teaching, this app features digital Bible studies and an easy scripture reading plan to guide you in exploring God's Word on your own. You'll also find a link to our online resource store. Now, to enjoy Rawls teachings as podcasts, download any of these programs using Spotify or iTunes. Plus, Rawls' weekly YouTube program, Straight Talk, streams every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time. Our number one goal here is to help you grow in your faith and your knowledge of who God is. So let us know how we can better support you. We always welcome your feedback. And let us know how we can pray for you as well. Your contributions help keep these programs on the air. On behalf of all of us here at the ministry, thanks so much for your support. And join us next time for more from this series. We'll see that while it's natural to seek strength and security in earthly things, there's no greater empowerment than entrusting our lives to God. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.